One of our friends from Delhi, Mr. Das, he's asking this question. The Shastras are saying, the question he's saying is in his own writing here, it is said that we cannot progress without association of devotees. However, we see that when we associate or try to associate with devotees, eventually conflicts develop. How should we avoid it? So he says, me plus devotee, me, this is the mathematical formula here. Me plus one devotee equals conflict. So what the conflict means, some conflicting, there's some opposite mood or some opposition, some fight, some argument, some offenses, some anger generated, whatever. And in this way, Kali Yuga descends into that Sangha and dances nicely in his play of fighting. Kali is the age of darkness, ignorance, and quarreling. And this is everywhere people are conflicting, conflicting together. And instead of cooperating together, and coexisting together, and co-nourishing and helping each other, we're conflicting, we're conflicting, we're fighting each other and cutting each other down and criticizing each other or criticizing others in front of our devotee friend, so-called friend, and saying that this is sadhusanga. But when Chaitanya Charitamrita is telling us the power of sadhusanga, 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 sarva-shastra hoy, lava-matra sadhusanga, sarva-siddhi hoy, it's telling lava-matra sadhusanga, sadhusanga, lava-matra, only a small few minutes associating with sadhu, one can get perfection. And because the question he's writing is, it is said that we cannot progress without a, so it's not it is said. Bhagavan Sri Krishna says, all the acharyas say, all the mahajans say, and all the shastras say that sadhusanga is the key to perfection. Sadhusanga, sadhusanga, sarva shastra hoy. All the shastras are proclaiming and declaring the power of sadhusanga. And then what? Sarva siddhi, all perfection. Perfection means Krishna prem. Radha Krishna prem seva, the kunjas of Vrindavan. All that's possible. And so many verses about the power of association with devotees. One moment. Tula napi, swarga pavarga. I forgot there's one verse in Bhagavatam that says, just a moment. I love a mantra like the same thing. Just a moment. Association with devotee. That few moments that devotee may give you a mantra, diksha, Gopal mantra, Kam Gayatri, and then disappears that guru, and then you chant that mantra and attain perfection. So now the next question is, yes, association with devotees is so powerful, but then we have to be selective. Like we might say that when you're choosing association, you have to choose someone that's favorable. Yes, you are. Favorable and anukulya, and also interested in bhakti and a serious devotee. So when you associate with a serious devotee who's interested in advancing, and then that association will create nectar. When you get the right association, then you go forward. You get the wrong association, you go backwards. You eat the right food, you have good health. You eat the wrong food, you can even get sick from the food you eat. Contaminated, stale food can give you a serious disease. So we have to choose the right association. And when we will know that we have chosen the right association, if we want to measure or use a measurement, how do I know that whom or who I just associated with, it was successful, it was productive? Well, first thing was anybody offending anyone? Were either of you or anyone in that group of devotees offending anyone, finding fault with anyone, putting anyone down, and expressing their own egoistic position, or trying to lord it over another devotee and say, no, it's not like that, it's like this. and trying to put forward their idea or viewpoint of the Shastra over what you see and thinking that that's the perfect view when the conclusions are unlimited from the Shastras. So therefore, we will know that we've had the good association when the association leaves the impression in the mind or the effect in the heart that I feel joyful. And Krishna is telling in Gita, Krishna is also encouraging in Gita, and the Chatushloki of Gita, chapter 10, verse 9. Machita matkata pranas buryantas parasparam kata yantas chamam nityam tushyanti cha ramanti cha. So, very nice. Machita matkata prana. So this prana, this life comes from the kata, and Krishna is telling, when my devotees get together, machitta matkata prana, they mix their prana with the chitta, their consciousness, and their which is the atma, and the prana, which is the force of life, and they hear about me, machitta matkata bodhiyantas parasparam means to sit together and discuss, speak sounds, and glorify Krishna, specifically Radha and Krishna and Vrindavan. Then what happens? Then tushyanti cha ramanti cha kata yantas, that such a kata and such a sarasanga, you will feel tushyanti cha ramanti, tushyanti, you'll feel satisfied, and ramanti, you'll feel bliss. Ramanti is, it has many levels, it represents many levels of bliss. Rama, even the yogis are experiencing ramate by their meditation, by their samadhi, and their meditation on their mantra or Brahman, they're experiencing this samadhi. But here, the bliss is that ramanti for us is that great happiness that we feel. So this is, and there's two things. When you associate with a living sadhu, then you feel so much joy when you hear Harikatha together. And secondly, you feel satisfaction and great satisfaction. Oh, I feel very satisfied. I feel very encouraged. And I feel very blissful. This is the result of Harikatha. And if this is not happening when you have association, you should avoid that association. And if you can't find a good living, let's say, quote-unquote, living, walking, four-dimensional association with a living being of this time period, then you dive into the Shastras and you associate. Oh, you can turn the fan on. Okay. You dive into the Shastras and you can associate with the perfect sadhusanga, the great Mahajans and the great Nityasiddha Parishads of Gauranga and Lord Chaitanya, Nityananda, and all Radha and Krishna themselves. And then that's the perfect association. You won't feel any conflicts there. When you sit down and associate with Raghunath Das Goswami or Rupa Goswami and read their books, Stavamala Stavavali, and so many, Vishnu Chakravarti, Raghvart Manchandrika, and Krishna Bhavanamrita, all the wonderful Madhurya Kadambini, Shamatkara Chandrika, then you'll feel, moment by moment, as you associate with these devotees, associate with them by hearing their Harikatha, which means reading their books, and mixing your heart with the teachings, mixing your mind in a mood of surrender with their instructions, and even contemplating and seriously considering, I have to do like this, I have to be like this, and taking it into yourself in a mood like a sponge. The mood of reading, the mood of associating with Siddha saints and Nitya Siddhas is the mood of a sponge. The sponge is like it's an ocean. It's like some kind of living creature. He dies, and his body is made of like sponge. It means like foam rubber, like rasgulla. Rasgulla, they're very soft, and they use in kitchens and cleaning and America, they call sponge, and maybe that's the name of that in Greek, that living entity that its whole body dries up like a conch shell or something. That sponge becomes very soft. And they also use sponges for cleaning the body. That's called loofah, but that's a dried gourd. That's a gourd. All these things. So then the mind should be like a sponge, very absorbent, very pliant, very soft, very, very absorbent. You know, absorbent means to take water into yourself. You know, like you put some cotton, you put it in some, there's some water on the floor, and you put some cotton there, you go like that, and pretty soon the water's off the floor and the cotton's all wet. Huh? That's called absorbing. So that, when you bring that kind of mind into the sarusanga of the Nitya Siddhas, you know, all you're with that submissive, soft, pliable, submissive, sponge-like, fully absorbent, 100% absorbent mind, then something will come. When you read the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Ujjala Nilamani, so it's unlimited gems and jewels. Nilamani means a sapphire jewel. It's not a Hira money. Hira money is diamond, not Moti money. Moti money is a pearl, and it's not Prabhu money is coral. Coral. So it's not, it's a Nilamani. Nilamani means blue sapphire. Only blue sapphire, a good one, comes from a special mine in South Africa. And it's so beautiful, like Sham, like Krishna blue, and so costly. So this is just some rough idea, this Shringar Ras of Radha and Krishna, this Mahabhav, Maranaki Mahabhav. It's like so valuable and so effulgent and so deep. And that's why the ocean is so dark blue. When you go in the Caribbean or you go in this Fiji and all these places, nearby the beach, nearby the shore, and they have very clear water. I mean, at least they used to. I don't know now. But in some places, and you can see right through the bottom, and it's like light green in color and very pale green, blue. But you go in the Atlantic Ocean, where it's very, very deep. It's said by oceanographers that there are many, the ocean is as unlimitedly deep as the Himalayan mountains are unlimitedly high. From the surface of the earth, Himalayan mountains project upwards, vertically, Mount Everest is, 7,000 meters or something like that, whatever it is. No, 15,000 meters. You know, Mount Everest is 15,000 meters up. So the same thing in the ocean, the Atlantic Ocean, in the middle, there's 15,000 meter mountains going into the earth, like this way instead of this way, you know, going. And they've gone partially into these things, and they filmed them on National Geographic and all kinds of wild creatures. So this is the unlimited. So that color of that ocean is dark blue. This is the analogy. So that Atlantic Ocean is dark blue. And it's unfathomable. You can't measure it. What I'm trying to say is so deep and so vast, you can't measure it. And when you want to find a color, what is the color? Red, yellow, blue, green, orange, violet, purple. What is the color that represents this or that? What's the color of anger? People will say red. What's the color of envy? People will say green. What's the color of purity? People will say white. What's the color of happiness and joy? People will say yellow. What's the color of sadness or melancholy or like winter afternoons in Siberia? blue. So this is some basic idea. People have idea that color represents some kind of mood or feeling or psychology. So this deep dark blue color, that color represents inconceivability. It represents immeasurability. We might ask the question, what is the color of purity? So I say white. So I say, what is the color of immeasurability? What is the color of unfathomability? In other words, what is the color of the unlimited? When you can't measure something, like the Atlantic Ocean, which is so deep, and you can't measure how deep it is, you can't measure how wide it is, how long it is, how much water is in there. So it's immeasurable, right? And it's unlimited. So what is that color? Take a look. Fly over the Atlantic Ocean and you will see that it's dark, dark blue, just like a Nilamani. Ujjvala Nilamani, Sri Krishna Ki Jai. Because Krishna is immeasurable and Krishna is unlimited and you can't find the depth of Krishna. You can't even one toenail of Krishna, you can't reach the end of the glories if you're not this shesh with 1,000 mouths. So this is Ujjvala Nilamani. So similarly, when we associate with that book, it's not a book, it's Rupa Goswami, it's Radharani, it's Krishna, it's Vrindavan, and all the Madhuriya Parakiya Bhav, then so much Tushanti Cha, Ramanti Cha comes inside the heart. So this is good association.